This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So give us a call, send us an email, but converse with us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of Sports Talk 870. And I've got hopefully I'll have a very interesting guest. If we don't get him on today, we'll get him on later on for sure. I want to talk with Brian O'Leary. He's scheduled. He's written a book called Spygate. It's about the New England Patriots scandal from back a few years ago when they were caught spying on other NFL teams to gain an unfair advantage. So we'll talk with, hopefully, with Brian O'Leary today about his book he's written. No one else has written a book about Spygate. So it's a very detailed book, a very interesting book, and we hope to talk with him, Brian O'Leary, about the product and everything that's in this book called Spygate. Later on, we're going to talk with Chris Solari from the Lansing State Journal, talk about Michigan State. They've started practice. Talk a little bit with him about that as well. So a lot of things to discuss today right here on AM 870 WKAR. The Olympics are winding down. We've got basically about 7 days left, and you'll be able to hear and see a lot of the Olympic coverage. The decathlon has started today, and of course you'll be able to watch some of that. And of course the 200 meter finals are tomorrow. Can Usain Bolt dominate the same events like he did in 08? He'll have a chance to repeat as a chance. Well, he's already won the 100, so can he do other 200 as well? So a lot of things to talk about. The American basketball team, they're in action today, going against Australia. So they'll have not a tough game, but they'll have a tough game. They'll be challenged for sure. So we'll look at that. And I don't know about you, I expect them to win. I expect the American team to win. I knew it wouldn't be a walkover, as some people said. And they've had a couple of tough games. And now they'll probably get a little bit harder as the games get closer to winning that medal game. So we'll see how it goes. But certainly they've got some competition. The main thing you have to say, and I know I have to say as well, international play is getting better overall. Overall, every country has got some pretty good players. Some players are playing in the NBA now, and that's going to help them out, of course. But the international play is definitely getting a lot better than it was 10 to 12 years ago, and or even further back than that, 20 years ago or longer. But it's slowly improving the overall play of the international game and the international players. So we'll see how America does now playing against athletes who are better. Most of them aren't NBA caliber, of course, but they're pretty good athletes, and they're the kind of athletes you just can't take them lightly, because if you take them lightly, they might bite you. So that's going on in the games, in the Olympic Games. Some of the things that are almost over, as you know, the gymnastics is bust about over, but they had some good success. Some of the girls had some very good individual success, and they did have the success as a team as they won a gold medal for the team from the United States. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870, 355-9527, or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And when you look at the Olympic medal count, I guess it's not surprising to say China's leading the United States by 3 medals. 73-70 is the overall count right now between China, the USA, Britain is 48, And Russia also is at 48. And 48 is pretty good for the host a nation that's hosting the games this year. So, you know, they've done well, and the United States has done well. You know, it used to be when we talked about China, they used to didn't have a strong sports team or strong athletic teams, and now they've got a pretty good one. They're competing in the last couple of Olympics. They've made some very strong showings. So that's the thing we'll have to look at, the strong showing that they make, and they've made some very strong showings in the Olympics, and they're just getting better. As a nation, they are getting better. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. As you know, football season is underway, and practice has started. Michigan State, Michigan, all the schools around the state of Michigan are underway of practice. And I also want to tell you about there's going to be a big basketball game coming up on December 15th at Jennison Fieldhouse. It's sort of like the old game that played there between Loyola and Mississippi State. It helped end segregation in college basketball, as the game was Mississippi State was an all-white team. Loyola of Michigan of Illinois was basically a black team. They had four black starters, so this game went a long way aways in helping to end segregation in basketball. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, Michigan State is going to play Tuskegee, you know, the Tuskegee, the school that was started in the South by tremendous school that was started in the South and by one of the old, he was the starter of the Tuskegee Institute. He was one of the members, and he helped, you know, that was the school that got all the black Tuskegee Airmen, and they in World War One and Two, and they was instrumental in that as well. So you can give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you hadn't seen this yet, Penn State is going to be adding the names of the jerseys on the back of the jerseys for the players this year. That should be a tremendous advantage. It's going to be a tremendous help. They say they want to separate the old themselves from the old, uniform that Joe Paterno always wanted, just plain uniforms and no names or anything. But they say they're going to add the names on, and that's going to give them a new identity. So we'll see how that goes. But it'd be interesting to see how the fans handle that, or if they even like that with the new uniforms, with the names on the uniform. So that'll be interesting to see. And, of course, Penn State is going to appeal, their punishments to the NCAA. At least four members of the Board of Trustees is going to appeal, and they are going to appeal, and then some of the players are going to file their own appeal. Now, I don't think they're going to win that appeal for sure, because the president of Penn State, he agreed to accept the findings of the Free Report. So since he agreed to accept the findings and he took those and he accepted that, they took those. So I can't see how the NCAA now would go back, even though they have appeals written in their book, since they had already stated they would accept the Free Report, and they did accept the punishment. I don't think they're going to change anything at all, in all honesty. It'll stay the same, more likely, and that's just the way it's going to be. I mean, the players are going to be mad. Some of the alumni are going to be mad. Those who are on the Board of Trustees are, I don't know if they're doing it for a grandstand or just trying to impress people. But if they are sincere about it, then I can't see them winning that in any sort of way. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And Aaron, let me give you how you think about Penn State and their unis and going to put the names on the back. It's going to be a big change for them. They're going to have pins on the front, recognizing how they plan on, you know, recognizing all victims of child abuse. So that's a big turn for Penn State, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean they've never had the names on the back of their jerseys,
right.
Correct? Yeah, so you know if this is a good time to start. I think it's great that they're doing that. So if that's what they want to do, more power to them. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, and so yeah, that is a good sign for them, and hopefully, it'll work out for them and what they see. Now, we also have some unfortunate news. Central Michigan former star and Dan Rounfield, who played 8 years in the NBA, passed away. He drowned trying to save his wife in Aruba. Very tragic. He was only 59 years old. Rounfield had a good year, and he had a very good career at Central Michigan. He was one of the first early stars in the NBA. He played power forward, played a good quality power forward while he was in the league. Hey, you can give us a call, Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870. Just let me go back and say, Booker T. Washington established Tuskegee Institute back in 1881, and that's who they'll play. The Black University, located in Alabama, and of course they were famed for the Tuskegee Airmen. That's for sure. Booker T. Washington found that school once again in 1881. So give us a call, Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, one thing we want you to do is spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you saw the article today, it was on the front page of the Detroit Free Press. James Worthy in Worthy's in training camp with the Green Bay Packers, and he's off to a pretty good start. He messed up on a play there, and they talked about how he jumped off sides on the next play. But Worthy overall is doing pretty good in Green Bay. And you'll probably see him when they play in his first game as a pro. And that's something. The first game, you know, Aaron, when these guys make it as a pro or get to the level, you usually see them make quite a few mistakes. Because, you know, it's understandable. He'll be very nervous when he steps out there for the first time as a professional athlete.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't want to be out there. I know that for sure. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of pressure. But once you get... Usually once you get those cobwebs out, you know, it's kind of the you get the nerves out, you make those mistakes, and you go back to the sideline, like, you know, coach is like, all right, well, you kind of learned your lesson. Now get back out there and do it again, but don't screw up this time, you know. So it's usually one of those things that happens once or twice, and, you know, they learn from it very quickly, and they're usually back out there and ready to go at that time. But, you know, we've seen it too. Some players, that doesn't bother them.
That's true.
You know, they've... In this world of media and attention and, you know, all the pressure and, they get so much attention put on them that, you know, to a certain extent, they're already sort of used to it. So sometimes in this today's day and age, it's not as much. But nonetheless, they still have butterflies when they get out there on the field.
Oh, yes, they do. Hey, the last coach has finally been hired in the NBA. The final coach has been hired. The Portland Trail Blazers has hired Terry Stotts as their new head coach, fill their vacancy. So now all the NBA teams have a new coach or the old coach is back with them. So Terry Stotts, who had coached in Atlanta and Milwaukee before, is part of four seasons now, is heading and trying to give a shot at Atlanta. Hey, give us a call. Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870. The time is 20 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Harry Reid demands Mitt Romney's tax returns, but he won't release his own. The campaigns trade jabs on welfare reform and tax plans. And in Missouri, Claire McCaskill's re-election campaign is in real trouble. I'm Tom Gelton. Political junkie Ken Rudin is back. Plus, where we get our facts. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Checking the mid-Michigan weather forecast for the next few days. Partly sunny skies in our forecast today with a high around 85. Tonight, scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm, lows in the lower 60s. On Thursday, showers likely and a chance of thunderstorms with highs in the mid-70s. And Friday's outlook, partly sunny and breezy, chance of light rain and highs in the lower 70s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk some football with Lansing State Journal reporter Chris Solari. And we'll talk with him about the upcoming Spartan season and look at him for some of the details and some of the things he thinks we might should be concerned about. So let's bring in our good friend Chris Solari from the Lansing State Journal. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great, Earl. It's hard to believe we're only about a little over 3 weeks away from everything kicking off, doesn't it?
Doesn't it seem like
it just ended?
It did. It did. It just gets on us so quickly and starts, and now, we're into it. It's still the first week of practice, I guess we'd have to say, even though we've already seen a little bit last Saturday. But they're going and... it's going to be interesting. Do you see any concerns to have right now? I mean, we've been told the defense we know is going to be solid, but there seems to be a lot of question marks on that offensive side.
Yeah, for sure. I think that there's a couple different areas on the offensive side, and a lot of different areas, as a matter of fact, not just a couple. I think that, obviously, you start with Andrew Maxwell. He doesn't have a significant amount of game experience, but he has played. So that's a plus, at least. He's seen snaps. In games that the coaching staff has really tried to force him in there just to get a little bit of a baptism the past few years. So the spring injury to his knee kind of hampered his development a little bit, but I don't know how much you really get in spring practices and spring drills versus what you're seeing right now in camp. So Andrew Maxwell is obviously the first one. Then you look at the receivers, and when you got basically 10 new guys – among 15 guys in that receiving core, it's going to take maybe a little bit of time to get the consistency out of those guys and the rapport with Maxwell. He's thrown to some guys. He's thrown to Benny Fowler. He's thrown to Keith Mumphrey. He's thrown to Tony Lippitt over the past few years. But getting guys on board, that freshman class, which is so talented, you have guys like DeAnthony Arnett coming in from Tennessee, the sophomore. But then you also have the freshmen like Aaron Burbridge and Trey Barksdale and, Monty Medeiros, McGarrett King. I mean, there's a list of talent. I mean, there's definitely talent at the receiver position, but it's very untested. And then I think the other two things that you really need to look at is the secondary players at tight end and running back. I mean, can you expect Larry Caper to become and return to the form that he had as a freshman and maybe early in his sophomore year before guys like Edwin Baker and Le'Veon Bell took over? I think between getting Caper moving in a secondary role behind Bell and also getting either Nick Hill or Jeremy Langford the carries and getting them into the mix as running backs is important. And at tight end behind Deion Sims, I mean, he's a proven commodity as a senior now, but you have a lot of question marks behind him. You got a couple true freshmen in Evan Price and Josiah Price and Evan Jones, and then you've got the transfer in Jamari Mills, the JUCO transfer, and then you also have Denzel Drone switching over from the defensive line. So I think those are four kind of big areas that you need to look at with Michigan State's offense. It doesn't mean the talent's not there by any stretch. It just means that it's going to take a little bit of time to get that cohesion that you've maybe been used to with Cousins and receivers like Nickel and Martin and Cunningham and the other backup tight ends like Selleck and Lincecum. I mean, there's a lot of missing parts from that offense that I think how they get replaced is going to really dictate the tone of the season.
Yes, I agree with you. And I had another little concern after talking with Dan Roshar the other day and also chatting with with the head coach, with Mark D'Antonio. The one thing it seemed like they both and a couple of the assistants said the same thing. They're looking for backups, because I asked them, well, how are they with the reserves? And they said most of the reserve positions are wide open. They just don't the offensive line, where they're only comfortable, they know they've got enough, you know, extra linemen, like 8 or 9 linemen. But after that, the other positions, they're just saying, like, yes, Connor Cook is good, but, you know, they're looking at the freshman coming in, and Connor definitely have a lock on the backup quarterback yet. So they say a lot of the positions for backups are wide open, and that's what they're going to be looking at, trying to fill those backup positions.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's how many times are we going to get confused between Connor Cook and Tyler O'Connor? I mean, there's a lot of Connors there. But I think that's probably a good thing for both of them, because then, you know, maybe one of them will jump in the lead. Obviously, Connor Cook's had a year of experience in the system, but Tyler O'Connor's got a pretty good pedigree coming out of that Big 33 game and being such a star in that game. So I think that's going to be a nice, interesting position to watch over the next few weeks develop and see who ends up seizing that, because ideally you'd maybe like to give Tyler O'Connor a red shirt, but then the options for the third string quarterback, you've got walk-ons with Tommy Vento and Peter Badovinac. So, you know, if you get to that point, we've been really blessed, I think, around these parts to not have a significant quarterback injury with Kirk Cousins the last few years. And I think that's something that his durability was almost tantamount to him getting a lot of those records. Mm-hmm. So I think that when you look at Maxwell and you see him coming in, practicing with a knee brace and still shaking off the effects of that knee injury, he looks like he's in good shape and good form right now. There's no question about that. But again, when you get to live contact, you know, that's going to be a little bit different. And always a worry at the quarterback position. But you're right about the backups across the board. And it's interesting, too, because when you talk about these skill guys and however many guys are competing for reps and playing time, the nice thing is having that line, because you're giving guys the time and opportunity to either run the ball behind a strong push or giving Maxwell time to find those receivers and let them develop and run their routes. So that I think the line may help progress that development at those other positions a little quicker than maybe in past years.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we got a caller for you. Let's go to Todd. Todd, how you doing?
Good afternoon, Chris. Good afternoon, Earl. I want to hit two quick questions, one on each side of the ball, if I may. Obviously, with an inexperienced quarterback and wide receiving core, I think one asset that this football team really has is they do, between Bell and Caper, have two very good receivers out of the backfield. Is that something that you think this coaching staff will take advantage of? I think both those guys are very good leaking out of the backfield for screens and stuff. They seem to have very good hands. And then as far as the other safety position, obviously Isaiah Lewis has the potential to be a very dominant player. But on the other side, you hear about, you know, a competition, and you keep hearing about the freshman, Demetrius Cox, maybe really pushing there. Now, I don't know how to feel about that. I guess, the best player should play, but the fact that maybe a true freshman could come in and compete, is this a sign of, I mean, have you seen this kid on the field? Obviously, you haven't had a chance to see him in a game. Is it a matter of this kid being that good, or is it a matter of that other safety position maybe being wide open because there isn't anybody that's really stepped up there and taken it? You know, I mean, I think obviously the defense is going to be a tremendous strong point, especially the secondary, but, that other safety position is going to be important. And do you think that the Cox kid has a legitimate shot, or is this kind of just hyping the kid up? Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's start with Demetrius Cox. I mean, that's obviously one of the big-name recruits coming in. He's a 4-star guy. Runs well, big hitter, comes from a pretty good area in western Pennsylvania, Terrell Pryor's high school at Jeanette, which has been one of the bigger powerhouses in the western Pennsylvania Athletic League the last few years. Cox is a good player. I mean, there's no question about that. He wouldn't have been highly recruited and highly regarded as he is if he wasn't. And I think that speaks more to him than it does to Curtis Drummond and R.J. Williamson at that safety spot. Because, I mean, any competition right now is going to make all of these guys better. And at the most, it's going to push each guy to have a little more mental resolve to compete at that spot. I think that if they want to play Cox right away, which I think he could probably figure his way into that two or three deep here. You know, he might have to contribute on special teams. He might be one of those guys that he's in the mix at the punt return job, which the coaches said the other day. And he's a guy that obviously can deliver a hit and cover deep. So, I mean, in the familiarity with the defense, though, I think is critical, and especially when you've got as many returning starters. I believe you got 8 or 9 returning starters on that side of the ball. So you could get away with playing Cox if he rises up to that level during camp. You don't want to just throw him in there just to throw him in there. And I think that's the thing that this program is built with, the depth it has, is you don't have to throw guys in there. Maybe at receiver you do because you had such attrition due to graduation. But in the defense, you don't have to throw those guys in there. So it'll be interesting to watch Cox develop, you know, especially when the pads come on and when they start hitting, and just see how much he can add to that secondary. And then, you know, when you look at Bell and Caper out of the backfield, that is a very good point, that they're very good pass catchers. And the other thing I think with Larry Caper that you get is an excellent, excellent pass blocker as well that people tend to forget. That's why he's been so good on third down situations over the past few years. I think you'll see some of that. I think you'll definitely see some more screens this year maybe than you had. I mean, maybe you run Bell and Caper and Palazzetti, Nico Palazzetti at fullback as well. There's some things that they can do out of the backfield, either running the ball or doing some screen passes that you might not have seen the past few years. And that will help for sure free up those receivers a little bit more. And, you know, when guys start bunching in and crowding the line, you're gonna see some openings on the outside. And you know, the other thing I think, too, is Jeremy Langford's a guy that they've talked about getting the ball in his hands. So you can maybe see him in almost a similar role to Keyshawn Martin, where he's getting some end-arounds lined up at wide receiver. You can maybe see him taking those bubble screens that they've liked to run the last few years. So that'll be – I think that'll be one thing to kind of keep an eye on as well once you get to the Boise State game.
Yes, and Chris, one other thing that some of the coaches alluded to, but we already knew this, but how they recruit, and they recruit to their system. They don't necessarily, like we've known, they're not getting the 5 and 4 star players. They get players that they believe can fit in their system and right away or get a good start in that system. So that I guess that's an advantage for them, even if they're not a so-called supposedly 4 or 5 star recruit. They're players that they think very well can fit their system. Do you think that's probably a good way to recruit?
I think it's a fantastic way to recruit. That's how you build programs. I mean, you know, you don't just throw talent together just and let it play as it may. You have to get guys that really fit the intent and purpose of each position. I think especially when you look at a guy like, say like a Jamal Lyles, this linebacker that's coming in from Detroit, he is a physical specimen, and he's another big linebacker, similar in the vein to the way they brought in Will Golston, and similar in the vein of how they brought in Lawrence Thomas. So he's one of those guys over the next few years, as he adds some bulk, maybe you can drop him down on the defensive line because he could pressure the quarterback. He's got long arms, and he can make an impact there if the linebacker position is full. And, you know, again, Lawrence Thomas is another guy as well. You see that the depth that they've had, they could have probably used a guy like Lawrence Thomas last year if they needed to, but they didn't. You know, he was obviously had some shoulder injuries, but had they needed him, he was there. You know, a guy like Jack Allen on the offensive line he traveled to every game last year. And R.J. Williamson, again, another freshman who got the redshirt but was with the team at every game. So, I mean, you have that luxury of having depth to be able to hold back for a year. And as D'Antonio said, it's good for the athlete because it keeps them pushing and focused towards graduation, but it also gets them the 4 years to develop and another year with that redshirt to mature and learn the system. You know, I mean, you have the specific needs in the system and talents for each position, but sometimes with those guys, it's about crafting and molding it into the system over the course of their first year on campus. And, you know, you see a guy like Lawrence Thomas who now all of a sudden he's added some bulk to him, and he moves from a linebacker spot to a down lineman at defensive end, just similar to the way Will Golston did. You know, there's a regeneration there that I think that's what sustained programs do. They regenerate talent. They don't just recruit it.
Okay. And another area where I know I'm pretty concerned with this year, you know, the last couple of years, Chris, we haven't had many injuries. You know, this might be a sign that they might be due for some injuries this year. They haven't had many of them the last couple of years, and the ones they've had were able to play over them. But I'm not so sure if they can have another year like they've had the last 2 years.
Yeah, and again, that's where the depth comes in that they haven't had the past few years. I mean, you know, a lot of those guys may have had to play through some nicks and bumps and bruises because there weren't enough guys and enough talented guys behind them to readily step in. Whereas this year, you do have depth. I mean, even though at some positions like tight end and wide receiver, maybe unproven depth, there is depth there and across the board talent to step in and fill the void should those injuries come, because you can never really and truly predict when it's going to happen. It could be something completely freak and out of the ordinary in practice, or it could be something, a big hit in the game, or it could be someone trying to do a little too much in a game. You never know when those injuries do come up, but you're right, that has helped them. You know, there's been a few here and there over the past few years, but nothing of significant enough nature to take away from the success that they've had, and not at the key players and the key marquee players. So, I mean, keeping Maxwell healthy, I think, is A number one. And I think the second thing is keeping Le'Veon Bell healthy. And those two right there tie in with that strength and depth of the offensive line. If they can protect, if they can block and keep the opposing guys off them, keep the opposing helmets off them, I think that if you keep those two guys moving forward and you move the ball forward and you keep progressing in that level of success that they've had the last few years.
Yes. Now, I think you were there. Maybe you weren't, but when I asked Maxwell, how does he feel? Is there any pressure on him following the two 11-win seasons that they've had? You know, the first time in history they've won 11 games and had them back-to-back. Does he feel any kind of pressure that way? And he was pretty candid by saying he didn't think that's a lot of pressure. He knows he's got the job. He's just got to come in and perform and do the job well. But do you see that anyway as having some kind of pressure on some of the guys, and especially on Maxwell, to perform like even as close as he can to what Kirk Cousins performed at last 2 years?
It's a good kind of pressure. I think that's the one thing, is that, you know, people somewhat expect a step back on the offense simply because of Maxwell's inexperience and some of the guys around him. They expect him to maybe hand the ball off a little more and you know, kind of use Bell and Caper as kind of your, you know, Ezor and Lorenzo White kind of punch, you know, up the middle and be more of a running team. So, I mean, when it comes to that kind of pressure, I think there's maybe a little bit off him. But at the same point, he talked a lot in Chicago, and he talked a lot this week about not being Kirk Cousins and not trying to be Kirk Cousins. And I think that's a sign of maturity that maybe if you had a guy in his first or second year on campus, he might not have understood that. But with Maxwell being in his fourth year, he understands that he doesn't have to be Kirk Cousins. Just like the same way that Kirk Cousins understood that he didn't have to be Brian Hoyer. The same way that Brian Hoyer understood that he didn't have to be Drew Stanton. So I think that there's been that progression at the quarterback spot, especially where these guys have been allowed to mature a little bit more. Obviously, Cousins got some baptism under fire when he was a sophomore and had to take over for Hoyer, but it was there. I mean, he knew and grew into that position and imparted that wisdom onto Maxwell. Maxwell was around it for, you know, 3 years, really. I mean, 3 years sitting and watching what Kirk Cousins did. I think, you know, there's obviously going to be expectations, maybe internally with him and with the program, for him to maybe not replicate Cousins' numbers, but at least come similarly close. And I think that's a good kind of pressure, you know, when you talk about it. It's not the pressure like our season's going to live and die by how the quarterback position ends up, because you obviously have the defense as your biggest strength. You have... It's not like he's coming into it would have been different, say, Andrew Maxwell came in last year when you had the full complement of receivers and tight ends and running backs, and you say, okay, this is yours, now run with it. The expectations may be a little scaled back on the offensive side, I think, this year, but that doesn't mean that they can't progress forward and put up similar numbers to what they've done simply because the line's so good and because maybe, you know, some of those guys are a little bit more talented, you know, and it may take them a few games to get into that, but I think that there's some breakout talent on that offensive side of the ball when you look at around him, when you look around Maxwell at guys like Arnett, and I think Benny Fowler could have a very big year if he keeps his foot healthy, and You know, the receivers during the spring that we saw, you know, Tony Lippett, the guy, I mean, you're talking about Tony Lippett being a freak of an athlete who played both ways last year as a freshman. I mean, that says something. And I think it speaks volumes that they've decided to move him to receiver this year and to exploit his talents to the maximum capacity. So I think that, you know, the pressure might be a little bit back on Maxwell, but I know that just talking to him, he's keeping the pressure on himself to produce.
Okay. The time is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. I want to thank you for being with me today, Chris. You know we're going to have you back on several times during this upcoming football season. Should be a fun season for the Spartans. I know the fans are excited about it. And you know, we talked about the new scoreboard. That'll be interesting to see when they get that all up and going. It'll be interesting to see how that works out as well. Hey, Chris, good talking with you, and I'll see you later on today.
Sounds great, Earl. Take care of yourself.
Okay.
See you soon.
Yep, see you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Chris Solari from the Lansing State Journal talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State. You're listening to stay tuned, I should say, for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
On Talk of the Nation, we tackle the news, the issues, and the stories that you want to know more about. I'm Neil Conan. Join us for analysis, perspective, and voices from across the country. To hear what the country's talking about, it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. Here's the weather forecast headed toward the weekend. It'll be partly sunny today with a high around 85 degrees. Tonight, scattered showers and a chance of thunderstorms overnight, lows in the lower 60s. Showers likely on Thursday, a chance of thunderstorms and highs in the mid-70s. Partly sunny and breezy on Friday, chance of rain, highs in the 70s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we got to say this, Aaron. We got to say congratulations to those Tigers. The Tigers have been playing great lately. 16-1 since July 1st. They've become really an outstanding baseball team. They're not in. They don't have. You know, they haven't got the division locked up. They're still trailing a little bit in the overall race. Right now, they're in the hunt. They're leader of the two teams that will qualify for the playoffs for that one game playoff. But of course, you want to stay out of that position to decide one game if you can go on and go further on. So that'll be interesting to see. But hey, the team is playing well right now. They're really good, and I guess we had to give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, you do. I mean, last night was a little bit of a scare from Valverde, but you know, apparently that's what he likes to do, put you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, he does.
And feel like you get your money's worth if you're at the game. But yeah, nonetheless, they pulled out a win last night against the Yankees, and like you said, they've you know, but they've been at, you know, they've still had their up and downs, nonetheless, I think they've for the most part, they've been pretty consistent. You know, they're a half game back currently from the White Sox, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Kansas City. Well, you know, you can pretty much count those guys out in this. For some reason, someone makes a big surge, or you know, Chicago or Detroit just crumbles for some reason. But I don't expect that to happen. And yeah, they're in a position where I think you know, maybe not where they expected to be exactly at the beginning of the season, but they're here, so now they have to deal with it. So you know, I think they'll you know, they got a couple series out with the White Sox, I believe. So I think you know, with those games, they're full games. So you know, if they win those, it's a full game instead of a half a game. But I expect them, frankly, to pull out the division. And, well, I guess, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see, as long as Valverde doesn't want to give us any more heart attacks.
Well, he might. That might happen. He might give a few. One thing they were saying last night is that he doesn't have as much bite on his forkball that he used to have, they say. And hitters are able to get on it and hit it pretty well this year. So they say that's been the main problem, is just he just doesn't have that real sharp forkball this year. So that's something I guess we better keep an eye on down the stretch, because, you know, Jim Leland's like so many managers. You know, he loves his closer, and he's going to leave him in that position. I don't think he's going to be changing the closer anytime soon. Not even if people start calling, they have been calling and crying for him to replace Val Verde. But closers cost a lot of money, and I can't see him losing that job.
No, I not this late in the season. I mean, if this was early in the season, you know, maybe you could make a transaction trade or whatever, but not this late in the season. That's not going to do the team any good. Frankly, I don't know. I don't even know if there's anyone out there. But yeah, you know, I feel like the Tigers and closers, that's an area that they've never been able to really figure out. But granted, last year he had an amazing season, and then this year, well, it's a completely different story. So. What wasn't he perfect last year for
saves? Yes, he was 42-0 last year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can't ask for anything else. No. So, you know, but that's the thing with closers. That's all they do. You know, that's all they do. They just close. So, you know, and some nights he doesn't even get out there. So, you know, that's just how closing is. Luckily, last year worked for them. If he was having the season that he had last year, this year. Oh, man. You know, it'd be obviously that would be great and a completely different story. And I think the Tigers would be in a different situation as well. But, you know, that's how closers go, whether or not they decide to keep him. Because if you get rid of him, he could go to another team and have another 42-0, you know, season at another team. So it's one of those tricky situations where in baseball, you just never know how a guy is going to turn out. And you know how old Val Verde is?
I think he's in his mid-30s, if
okay.
I'm correct.
So, I mean, you know, in baseball, he's still got some time left.
Yes.
So, you know, if he can work those things out in the offseason, I expect him to be back next year, actually. But you never know. They might get rid of him. They might have
some. They might trade him or something.
Yeah, they might trade him. The, you know, closers, they come and go. So.
Yeah, because you got to look at them. If they have 2 good years, you got your money surf. But any more than 2 years, you're really taking a chance. If they can last more than 2 years effectively and being a good closer, he'd probably be worth keeping. Because the third year, they start to struggle a little bit, or at least teams might have figured them out a lot better by the time they get to years 3 and 4. So we'll see. Now, when you look at the standings in the American League, New York and Baltimore, Tampa Bay are the top three teams in that division. And then you have Texas, L.A., the top two teams in Oakland also out west. And, as you know, Chicago's in first place. Detroit's in second. And that's been it. And, boy, you just wonder. You got to believe that the Tigers are going to win the series, and they're going to win the season series. But the Tigers have one advantage in their last 9 games, the last 9 games of the year. They play Minnesota in Kansas City. So that gives them a good boost, but they don't have to play any of the big boys in those last 2 series. So if it's close at all, you have to figure the Tigers, and they are really close now. That's why you have to believe that the Tigers will probably win this division.
Yeah, you would hope, but if I was Leland in that team, I would rather put myself in a position going into those series and knowing that I probably would hope to have the division locked by that point, or two, very close, where it's very difficult for Chicago to even even have a chance to win the division. So I wouldn't want to go into those series knowing that I have to win so many games just to win the division. I mean, that's late in the season. Guys are probably fatigued a little. You don't want to put more pressure on the guys and have to work even harder. And then coming into the playoffs, assuming that they get there, which I envision they do. So if I'm Leland in the team, I'm hoping to get in a position in those last series there to have that division sort of, maybe not necessarily locked, but in a good position to where they can make a few mistakes and still be okay. You know, I don't think you want to put all the pressure on every single player where they got to be great every single night. I mean, you know, that's late in the season. You want to be in a position where you could maybe rest some of your starters and bring call up some of the young guns to maybe get some of those wins for you.
Oh, that's for sure. When you look at the National League, Aaron, you see Washington and Atlanta at the top of their division, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh at the top of their division, and San Francisco and L.A. at the top of their division. You know, really, we haven't seen a lot of these teams in the playoffs for quite some time. I mean, Cincinnati has been struggling for many years, but they've been playing pretty good this year, and they came on sort of strong near the end of last year. Washington is finally reached that plateau. They've got all this talent, and it's coming through for them. But I'm still surprised that Washington is doing as well as they've done. San Francisco has always had a strong pitching staff, and they're still there. L.A. is right on their heels, so that's going to be a dogfight to the end. But are you surprised, or I should ask you, are you surprised about any of the teams, especially in the National League and even in the American League? You surprised about any teams that are still in independent race at this time?
No, I'm not. I'm not really surprised. You know, Washington has sort of been on the upslope last couple of years, getting the good players in there. So that's not really a surprise. I suppose it would be a surprise if, like, they in the beginning of the season, like, they got one or two guys that are good or something, then they suddenly are in first place. But you know, they've been on the upslope for a couple of years now. If you look at Cincinnati, I mean, I believe their closer, I can't remember his name. They have an amazing closer. They're just playing great baseball. They got some great talent on that team. Pittsburgh, though, in second place, that's a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but granted, the last couple of years they've had better teams, and you know, especially when you're in a division with St. Louis, Milwaukee, the Cubs, and Houston. You know, that central division there has always been one that's kind of been up and down, but you know, it's great to see that Pittsburgh's in second, and you know, in the West, in the NL, that's not really surprising. San Francisco, LA, that's you know, those teams have been up and down. I think they go back and forth, but San Francisco and LA have been pretty consistent. And as far as the AL League is concerned, I mean, clearly the Yankees are in first, no surprise there. You know, and then you got the White Sox ahead of the Tigers. And then you got Texas in front of Oakland, the Angels, and Seattle. Frankly, you know, if Texas wouldn't win that division, now that would be a surprise if they don't win it. I mean, you know, Oakland's 5.5 back. Frankly, they're not going to catch Texas unless Texas has a fall off for some reason. So, I don't think there's any sort of huge surprise.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phones. We got a call on the line. We got Michael on the line. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
How you doing there, Earl? I just want to say, if you got some time or whatever, listen to Curtis Martin Hall of Fame speech, because that's a perfect example of what sports can do for somebody who really didn't have the advantages, like most of your students coming back to college and everything, and what sports – even though they criticize football for all the things that football players and everything, but that was a great Hall of Fame speech. Or you ought to listen to it online.
I have to listen to it. I'll have to do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, you watched Olympic basketball?
Oh, yes.
Okay, because I'm looking at these teams that play in Olympic basketball for their countries and everything. That just goes to show you how good the American system really is, because those guys, they play with each other for so long and stuff, but it's no youth on there. You know, it's hard for those teams to they play together and cohesive as a unit and everything. But if you play like that for a long time, do you get emotionally? You feel like you're going through a cycle? It's just a routine, or it's just what's your opinion on that?
Well, I think it helps the team. It helps the camaraderie of the team. I was saying earlier that, you know, the other teams, the world is catching up to United States basketball. United States has always been a dominant team in the sport of basketball, and it's their sport. And but the rest of the world is catching up, because those guys play together longer. Yes, they're not as much. They don't have the talent, but when you play together so long as a cohesive unit, that helps a lot. And so since they've developed that good unit, it's hard for anybody to beat them. But the overall quality of European basketball and just basketball around the world is just getting better. We're not going to be that dominant team that we've been. We're still a dominant team right now, but we're starting to lose that, because the other teams are certainly catching up.
Besides the men, you
watched
the women play any of
that? I just saw a couple of games, parts of a couple of games, but that's about it.
Because you look at the women's play, And it seemed like the rest of the world still got a long way to catch up with our women. You know, I'm amazed at how good that what Title IX has really done to help the Olympic movement along. You know, because you just look at all the women, the gymnastics, the track and field, of course, the volleyball, the basketball, and everything. You know, by giving all these women athletes scholarships in high school and everything, that the quality, our Olympians are really good despite not having government funding and everything. But like I say, I'm looking at the quality of the Olympics and everything. It's been a really good Olympics, especially the track and field and swimming. It really has.
Yeah, it really has, and hopefully it'll just continue on, just because we've got some very fine athletes in all those sports that you just mentioned.
Okay, then. I just thought I'd just chime in with my opinion, man.
Okay, thanks a lot, Michael. Yep, bye-bye. Hey, that's Michael from Saginaw chiming in with his opinion. If you have an opinion, you want to talk sports with us, give us a call at 355-9527 or toll-free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, Aaron, now, has there been anything happening in the Olympics that caught you off guard that you just didn't expect to see, or is everything going about the way you thought it would be?
You know, I think everything's kind of in line with, you know, there's always going to be certain things that are like, oh, well, why did that happen? You know, that's always happens in the Olympics. There's been nothing that's been like extravagant where Michael Phelps didn't win a medal or something like that. So, no, I don't think there's anything sort of super, you know, that's been out of the ordinary. You know, we've, like we said before, a week or two ago, you know, you had the blown, you know, badminton matches, but that was the fault, frankly, of the organization changing the rules and those kind of things. You know, there's been nothing, you know, different as far as the basketball is concerned. Frankly, I watched one women's game and partly of another one. I mean, they're gonna breeze right through that, get the gold. I mean, no offense, but that's almost kind of a joke to watch. I mean, you know, it's no offense to the other countries, but I mean, there's no competition in that. They got to do something about that to, you know, have even more competition. The women are just going to completely dominate that for the U.S. The men, though, I would agree with you a little bit. If these international teams can get together some more and play more and be more competitive, that, you know, they can compete with the U.S. I mean, the U.S. hasn't always won gold. I mean, that's obvious. But, you know, I think the U.S. has got a lot of players now that are going to be in the Olympics for quite a while. There's a lot of great young players coming up as well. It'll probably be on future U.S. Olympic teams. And so the international, you know, players are going to really have to step up to compete. But, yeah, nothing surprising. How about yourself?
No, it hasn't really been any really big surprises. I've just been enjoying watching the Olympics, and I like a lot. To be honest with you, I like a lot to see how good many of those foreign teams are, because we watch it from an American perspective, which is probably the way we should. But I just like to see how good the rest of the world is. Are they catching up with us in some areas? And it looks like some areas they are catching up. Some areas, you know, we're just not that good in. And that's probably still about the same way. So it's not really been any big surprises. But it's been a very entertaining Olympic Games. And, you know, we'll see a lot more left in the last week. See how this decathlon. It looks like the Americans should win the decathlon. I mean, he's favored. He set a lot a record earlier on in this year's World Games. So that's one thing, though. I must admit, I am surprised that the World Games have lost a lot of the luster. It used to be that the Olympics was secondary to the World Games, and now it's the Olympics are first, and the World Games is becoming secondary to the Olympics. A little bit surprised at that and how that culture has changed in the last, I think it's been the last 12, 14 years, where now we look more at the Olympic Games as being the overall wherewithal and everything, and we don't look at the World Games that much anymore.
Yeah, the World Championships, they just don't get covered like the Olympics. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't know how much TV coverage they even get anymore. If they do, it's very little, and it's probably on tape delay nonetheless. You don't see much of it in the newspapers. Nonetheless, the Olympics are always going to be big, and frankly, they're drawing in the money.
Yes, they are. They bring in a lot of money, and it helps all those athletes. If you win gold at the Olympics, you'll probably get some endorsements. And that's what it helps with the Olympics. It helps a lot of athletes who are, this is the only time they're on TV, is every 4 years. So if you do well in this, you'll get some additional monies, that is. So we want to thank you all for giving us a call and talking sports with us. Come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday, 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening, and I'll see you tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.